Now, we're going to head on to some analysis now with Simon Marks. He's standing by in Washington, D.C. Simon, you know, as we waited for Mr. Biden to reach the podium earlier this evening, you called this address the speech of his political life. Did he deliver?
Well, I think he certainly delivered in the sense that he was very energized, as the White House insisted that he was going to be, certainly for the first 30 minutes of that speech and again for the last 10 minutes of it. I mean, by my clock, the speech lasted about 66 minutes. There were moments in the middle where his energy levels dipped slightly, but it was at the beginning an absolute barnstormer of a speech in terms of the efforts that he made to drive an absolutely clear wedge between his vision of the United States and the role that it plays on the world stage and the vision of the man that he referred to not by name at all during the course of this speech, but only as his predecessor or the former president. He used the phrase "my predecessor," referring, of course, to Donald Trump, 13 times during the course of this speech, and I think on two occasions referred to the former president. And he came right out of the gate at the start of the speech, talking about the issues that he believes absolutely distinguish himself and the Democrats from the Trump-dominated Republican Party, starting with Ukraine, chiding Donald Trump for essentially backing Vladimir Putin in his war against Ukraine and its president, Volodymyr Zelensky. He then turned his attention immediately to abortion and reproductive rights in the United States, calling on Congress to pass legislation to offer to enshrine abortion rights into law so that there could be no further efforts to roll back the freedoms that Americans enjoy in that regard. And then, of course, he excoriated his predecessor for the events of January the 6th, 2021, the deadly riot on Capitol Hill that so many in that chamber so vividly remembered. He talked about his own economic record, leading the country to prosperity, and on several occasions tweaked Republicans in the chamber, diverting from his prepared remarks when, for example, some of them denied that they were planning $2 trillion in tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, and also chiding Republicans when they pushed back on President Biden's insistence that an opportunity had recently been lost to tighten procedures at America's border regarding the immigration crisis. And it was on the issue of immigration that he once again turned against Donald Trump, drawing a very, very clear distinction between the kind of America that he, Joe Biden, envisages for the future and the kind of regressive approach to a multicultural United States that he says is represented by Donald Trump. Let's take a listen.
Not since President Lincoln and the Civil War have freedom and democracy been under assault at home as they are today. What makes our moment rare is that freedom and democracy are under attack at both at home and overseas at the very same time.
So President Biden absolutely drawing the contrast there and throughout this speech between himself and his Republican opponent, and absolutely insisting that democracy is on the ballot this November. Now, he and the White House will be hoping that the energy that he displayed, certainly during the first half an hour of that speech, and let's be honest, millions of Americans will have been watching at the start of the speech. It's the most important part of the speech. The audience tends to drop off over time. The White House will be hoping that he has not only cemented his position among Democrats and revealed a new resource of energy at his disposal that many Americans have not seen over the last few weeks, but they will also be hoping that he has reached out and persuaded some independents that they should be considering voting for Biden this November. It was notable that Republican critics live tweeting and responding to this speech said that Joe Biden was too aggressive. He was too amped up. Hard to square that, of course, with the argument they've been advancing that he's too old and too feeble to be president. But as the applause and the cheers echoed around that hall at the end of Joe Biden's speech, and the president continues to make his slow way out of the chamber. I think there is no question whatsoever that campaign strategists on the Biden team will believe that this was a hugely effective message to the country, and one that will give Americans an opportunity, if they choose to take it, to start seeing Joe Biden in a slightly different light.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but from this vantage, it really sounded like a campaign event at times, Simon. You know, Mr. Biden vowing to cap prescription drug costs, promising an annual tax credit, cracking down on landlords. You talked about the American public, most of them watching the beginning, but maybe not the end. How do you think they received this address? How far is tonight going to go in terms of helping Biden secure another term?
Well, I think, Teresa, you've picked on a really important issue, which is the fact that Joe Biden, in this speech, really for the first time, laid out publicly what he wants to do in a second term in office. If you went to Joe Biden's campaign website as recently as Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, I've not checked it today, there was not a single policy pledge available to the public on that website. It was simply a one- or two-page website in which you could register to sign up for Joe Biden's emails, but you didn't learn anything about what he wants to do in another 4 years. You learned that he wants to, quote-unquote, finish the job, but you don't find out in detail what that means. Well, tonight, he actually presented a vision for the next 4 years, and that's something that many Democrats have been urging him to do for weeks, if not months, because they have compared and contrasted Joe Biden's looking back over the last 4 years with Donald Trump's plans for a second term in office. And they have seen on the Republican side a program that terrifies them, but a program that is at least advanced and available for the public to scrutinize. So Joe Biden in this speech absolutely, I think, was reflecting the fact that this general election is now afoot. I mean, it is on. We're in for 8 months of back and forth between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And Donald Trump, as you know, was issuing a whole series of messages through his Truth Social media platform, pushing back on many of the things that Joe Biden was saying, and persistently pointing out that Joe Biden, certainly in sort of two-thirds of the way through the speech, seemed to be suffering once again from some kind of a cough that often got in the way of what he was trying to say. But overall, this was Joe Biden setting out his stall for why he deserves 4 more years in office in terms of the specifics of policies, but also proving, he hopes, to the American people that he's absolutely got the energy and the drive to stay in the Oval Office until he's 86. You know, towards the end of that speech, you may have heard that he said, "I've been told that I'm too young and I've been told that I'm too old." That is a very interesting reference to the fact that when Joe Biden was first elected to Congress, he was only 29 years old and he wasn't able to take his seat until his 30th birthday. So he came to Washington and he had to sit outside Capitol Hill in sort of a private office planning to take his seat, which he could only do after his 30th birthday. So he's sort of presenting his career as being bookended, having been told that he was too young. Now he's being told that he's too old. But as he made it clear there, or tried to make it clear at the end of that speech, there are still all sorts of things that he wants to get done. And that was the vision for an inclusive America that he was presenting in this speech, a progressive America in many ways, despite the fact that he's a pretty centrist Democrat. And he hopes that he has compared and contrasted himself to his advantage with the man he only referred to throughout this speech as his predecessor.
Simon, thank you so much for watching the address with us and for that analysis in Washington, D.C. Simon Marks.